Support for WPR comes from Luther College in Decorah, Iowa, a community where students are invited to learn actively, lead courageously, and live purposefully for a lifetime of impact. More about Luther College at luther.edu.
Support for WPR comes from 4imprint, providers of promotional products for businesses, including embroidered apparel, trade show items, and logoed business gifts. More is at 4imprint.com. 4imprint, for certain.
Should the public have access to the land that is being tested for a potential open-pit iron mine in the Pinoki Hills in far northern Wisconsin? We'll talk about a bill that will be introduced in the state legislature that would establish safety zones around the mining exploration sites that would protect mine company workers, but would still allow the public to use the land nearby. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, July 29th. We will talk with Wisconsin Public Radio's Mike Simonson for the first 10 minutes or so of today's State Capitol Report to get the latest on the mining controversy, including plans to try to evict the Lucudere Chippewa, who have established what they call a harvest camp near the proposed iron mine. And if you have questions, we'll welcome those too at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. A little bit later, we will talk with Wisconsin Public Radio's Sean Johnson about the crackdown on unpermitted singing protesters at the state capitol. And after 7:30, we will talk with a former prison inmate who had been wrongfully convicted and released from prison earlier this month. We'll talk with him about the lack of state aid he has received to readjust to outside life outside prison walls. First, though, Mike Simonson, our reporter based in Superior, who has been covering the latest news involving the proposed mine in Iron County, joins us by telephone. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Joy.
We heard your story this morning a little earlier that Iron County is going to decide tomorrow whether to pursue charges against this harvest camp. Why pursue charges?
Well, I think since this all began in May, when Lucudere's tribal governing board approved this camp, and it is a harvest camp, but also they emphasize it's an education camp where they teach people about the traditions of harvesting, the trails, the history, and all of that. But there's been just a lot of confusion. The Forestry Committee of Iron County unanimously approved that. LCO then thought that was enough for them to be able to have a permit to stay there, and the permit that they requested was to be there for a year so they could do their harvesting and education and such. And then there was this two-month black hole where nothing happened. In other words, it didn't go to the full county board, which apparently it should have, although that's a gray area too. And then the Forestry Committee met last week, and I think a lot of people expected them to then to change their vote and revoke this permit, but instead they decided to say that they should be charged civilly and criminally. But when we asked them what charges, and they said, well, we don't know. So there's a lot of confusion and a lot of twists in this story.
Yeah, I am a little bit confused. Someone is saying that they did contact the Lucudere leaders who established this camp to say get off the premises.
Yeah, a letter did go out, and the letter was lost at LCO. They have found it, so I mean the letter was sent, but they're saying, well, why don't you like follow it up with a phone call or a hey, what about this, or something like that. That, in other words, they didn't have to take that leap from, it's great that you're there, to you should be charged criminally and civilly to leave. But, you know, this is the first time that a harvest camp permit has been applied for with Iron County. LCO says that they, and the treaty rights say that they have the right to hunt, fish, and gather there anyway, but what they're trying to do, according to LCO, is just get along with Iron County and establish a relationship, and that relationship seems to have gone sour really quickly.
Yeah. Is this because of the protest incident in June where a group of protesters harassed mining company employees?
Apparently one or more of those raiders stayed at the camp, but the camp didn't know that they were going to do what they did. And in fact, the leader of the camp did tell the sheriff, look, one of those people is this person, and they helped the sheriff apprehend that person. So the criminal charge, the DA, Marty Lipsky, says, I don't know what that is, you know, and the civil charge could be eviction. And the LCO is calling it the eviction arrest resolution now from last week. So the, I mean, this camp is a real PR boon for LCO because they've had 1,500 visitors, and at least they say they've had 1,500 visitors in the first couple months that they've been open. A lot of them dignitaries from other tribes and politicians, showing them the value of the Pinogi Hills. And people who are in favor of mining might not like that.
Yeah.
So the motives of this, you know, that's speculation, I guess, but.
Yeah, the Lakota Grays say that this harvest camp is an educational camp, but there is also a protest element to this, or not?
Yeah, I've been to the camp a couple of times. In the first visit, I did ask, are you here to occupy mining land? Well, that question was kind of wrong because it isn't actually on the proposed mining land. It's right next to it.
Mm.
But they did say, yes, we are here to occupy this land. We oppose the mine. This is our ceded territory, and this would destroy, and we all heard the arguments from the tribes and the protesters about how they think it would destroy the environment.
Gary on Facebook writes, Iron County did try to accommodate the camp, and then found out that this would not be legal to do what they wanted to do, where they wanted to do it. The county then requested that they apply for a group permit, but were ignored as the camp continued to expand with more structures and even more arrogance. Can you respond to that, Mike?
I think there's a couple dozen wigwams up. What I saw was a very humble camp. I mean, it's not like they're building buildings other than wigwams. I mean, they're not chopping down trees and such. They are harvesting, but they have that right. I got to eat a leek, which is a little onion, and grows naturally there. And what they're doing is they're teaching. I mean, Boy Scouts are showing up there, and they're giving tours to anybody who will come, which also gets to that question about public access. They have allowed everybody, including GTAC armed guards, to tour their camp, to stay there if they like to camp out. There really is a question about whether they can do this or not. This is the first time a harvest camp has been asked to be licensed. The DNR doesn't like it, but they're not asking for the removal of the camp either. But they, you know, they're wondering about the access to the camp and the impact of the camp on this.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a big meanwhile here. Meanwhile, this humble little camp is getting national attention. The New York Times sent a reporter. CNN, I'm told, was there as well. It's getting national talk show focus, you know, because of the armed guard pictures, that video, that dramatic video about the raiders. But also this camp seems to be now the focal point, and tomorrow night at 6 o'clock when the county board has it as agenda item number 11, that place is going to be packed.
Yeah. Speaking of Bob Jelk, he was among three lawmakers last week who said that they would introduce a bill that would ensure mining company worker safety and allow public access to that land that's under consideration for the iron mine. Talk a little bit about this legislation, Mike.
Well, it wasn't, you know, we'd kind of thought that the political football had been kicked, but with the mining legislation that was passed, but apparently it is now back in the legislature. Jelk, Cullen, and Schultz want to see a 50 foot zone around a drilling, which is pretty non-invasive and not a dangerous thing. 300 feet around bulk sampling, which, you know, is chipping up and blowing up rock. And when they're using explosives, that zone could be even larger. But they're doing that, and Senator Tiffany, a Republican, says, no, that's just not big enough. And Jouk says that GTAC wants to take thousands of acres out of circulation while they're doing that. So, you know, the politicians are weighing in again.
Well, let's take a listen to Bob Jouk.
So that there will be explosions in five different sites in the next few months. We think it is imperative to assure there is workplace safety, safety for the public. At the same time, you have public access to the rest of the managed forest land for hunters and anglers and hikers.
So does it look like the Republicans in the legislature will go along with this legislation or not, Mike?
Well, there's been a lot of kumbaya moments there lately, so I doubt it. You know, it's Dale Schultz is a Republican, but he hasn't really been able to get some of his colleagues on that side of the aisle to come around to him. So they'll meet in the fall, and by that time the bulk sampling permitting might have been okayed, and that would make it more relevant for what Senator Jouk referred to as the explosions, because that bulk sampling is mini mining. That's where they're actually going to be doing some mining.
Well, let's take a call for you, Mike, before we let you go. Terry in Mercer is with us. Hi, Terry.
Hi. One of the questions that we have up here, we're trying to figure out what the motivation of our forestry committee is, because this eviction could land us in court with the tribes or maybe even with the feds and be very expensive. And one of the rumors that's been afloat around here is that the county forestry committee is getting pressure from the DNR to do this eviction based on some kinds of rules for county forests. The Wisconsin County Forest Association has weighed in, and so we're wondering if Mike's heard anything about whether the DNR or the County Forest Association is trying to pressure the county into this action.
The Wisconsin County Forest Association is calling for the camp to pack up and leave. The DNR says they are watching Iron County to see what it does tomorrow night, and they're going to stand back and wait and see. I think that they would prefer that Iron County take that hot potato. Where all the pressures are coming from, whether it's GTAC, whether it's the County Forest Association, whether it's the public in Iron County to get these jobs, I don't know. But there is an interesting development, and it's a story I'm working on now, and that is a second camp is going to be established near the harvest camp. I just wanted to mention that it's called a spiritual camp. The harvest camp is by LCO. This one's going to be by Bad River. So things are growing.
All right. Well, we'll keep in touch. Thanks very much, Mike.
You bet, Joy.
Mike Simonson, Wisconsin Public Radio's reporter based in Superior. Coming up, we will talk with Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol reporter, Sean Johnson, about the latest going on with the protests at the State Capitol. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. And this is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine, welcoming in now Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
So let's talk a little bit about the Capitol protests going on. We have the Solidarity Singers gathering to sing at the State Capitol in large enough groups that they now need a permit. The Capitol Police are cracking down.
Well, I don't think anything about the size of the group really changed last week. What changed last week is about Wednesday. You know, we had mentioned that Capitol Police were coming out, giving this verbal warning, and then, you know, life would kind of go back to normal. The week before last week, Capitol Police started arresting people. And I think we have a little clip here from, you know, what a typical noontime now sounds like at the Capitol. They've moved up from the bullhorn that nobody could hear now, and they now have this very large speaker. And, you know, shortly after noon, if there's more than 20 people in the rotunda, and there have been quite a few more than 20 people last few days, they will play this recorded message from Police Chief David Irwin.
All right, let's take a listen. Wow, that was hard to hear, but I did hear, I declare this an unlawful event.
Unlawful event, mm-hmm. Subject to arrest, and what they've also been doing is they'll put out, the Capitol Police will put out, like a sandwich board sign in on the ground floor of the rotunda with basically the same message saying, we're declaring this an unlawful event. If you stick around, you're subject to arrest. And so on you know, Wednesday and Thursday especially, officers would then move in with, you know, large teams of officers, and they would just go out into the crowd, approach people, ask them to leave. If they didn't leave, turn around and cuff them with plastic zip-tie handcuffs. And so I was just kind of running the numbers here. They've issued more than 80 tickets in 3 days, most of them through arrests, and then on Friday they had a number of tickets they said they were going to issue later where they caught the people on videotape. They know their identity, and they're either going to mail them the tickets or they're going to, you know, in the past they have hand-delivered the tickets either at home or at their workplace. I don't know if that's going to be the practice going forward, but definitely the arrests that are getting people's attention. And, you know, I can tell you on Thursday especially, the crowd was, well, Wednesday and Thursday, the crowd was much bigger than usual because of the arrests. And not only do you have the crowd of people that are getting arrested now, you have a number of media that are coming in to watch what's happening. And then you've got, you know, the next two floors of the Capitol are lined with spectators, and they're watching what's going on. And so, you know, the event has gotten, it's gone from being a sing-along in the center of the rotunda to something much bigger than that, and it's actually drawing in people to the Capitol that I haven't seen regularly for, you know, more than a year. These are people that you'd see very regularly before the recalls. Solidarity sing-along really hasn't been quite that type of event since then, and they're coming back now. Just because this has become more of an event in the last few days.
Yeah, so there's probably going to be more of an incident today. I understand, actually, a conservative group has gotten a permit to be the singers in the rotunda today, and that the Solidarity singers are going to stage their protest outside.
Yeah, I mean, that, this will be the new angle today. Dave Blaska has gotten a permit. He's going to sing. He's invited a number of conservatives to join him, and they're going to stage a permitted sing-along at the rotunda. You know, that in the past, when stuff like this has happened, the group of regular Solidarity singers has gone outside. Yeah, I'd say with this group, though, I mean, you can't necessarily assume that that's going to happen this week. That the, you know, because you've drawn these other people into the group now with the arrests, you have a certain group of people who want to get arrested if this is going to happen. And so, while most of the Solidarity sing-along might go outside and say there's a permitted event, we don't want any confrontations, you're going to have a certain number, very possibly, who will stay inside. You know, look to get cuffed, and you know, like I said, it's just there's just a new element there. It's far louder, far more confrontational than it was a few days ago.
James on Facebook says, "I have seen reports that the Capitol Police threatened tourists and reporters covering the singers with arrest. Tourists just observing this. Is that true?
I saw." Video posted It was actually by Arthur Cole Riggs, who ran that faux campaign for Republican campaign for governor in the recall. He's videotaping what's going on in the rotunda pretty frequently, and he caught people that were just upstairs watching the event, getting a warning that they were subject to arrest. Staff from the legislature have been told that they shouldn't be up there watching now. And so that's definitely a new element, too, where people who are not participating in the event but watching from the floors above are being told they need to get out of there. Just another example of how it's changed since mid last week.
We only have a minute to go, Sean. I know you have some sound bites from some protesters. Maybe time for one of them. What are the protesters trying to accomplish by getting arrested?
Well, I could play Margaret Moses. Mm-hmm. It's short. This was somebody who decided that she wanted to get arrested for the first time last week. She's a 66-year-old legal aide at a law firm near the Capitol.
It hurt. The officer was kind. He said, I'm going to do this loosely. He said, don't slip your hands out. But it still hurt. And it's humiliating and it's infuriating.
Yeah, so they hope to challenge these arrests in court?
I mean, this is the protest now is really about, it's become about the right to protest. This is not about Act 10 or anything like that. It's a distant cousin to that protest. Right now, they're there saying that they have the right to be there without a permit. And so expect a lot of that discussion today as you have the dueling protests.
All right. Well, take care this noon hour, Sean.
All right. Thank you.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Reporter. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.